Welcome back to the Bryan Park Project from NPR News. We are a permanent fixture on your online at npr.org. I'm Mike Pasco.
And I'm Rachel Martin. There are a lot of most things here at the Bryan Park Project. There's the most disgusting coffee. There is the most confused air conditioning system. There is the most experienced political team on TV. Just kidding, that was a joke. And there's the mostest segment on the radio, and we call it The Most. Mark Garrison.
And Rachel, you're going to miss some of those things,
yeah.
Like the coffee. I mean, it does wake you up at least like that.
Gross.
I have a most emailed from the Los Angeles Times. New study, conventionalism, you know, gas is getting more expensive. You would think buy a hybrid, that's going to save you money. New study, though, from Edmunds.com, which is an automotive data firm, says that even based on $6 a gallon gas, a hybrid is not necessarily going to save you money because you have to factor in all the other expenses. When they did this, and you look at the expenses of like repairs, other things that factor in like that, not just the price of gas. Even at $6, the number one car was the Chevy Aveo, then the Hyundai Accent, and the Toyota Yaris. The top hybrid was the Honda Civic Hybrid. That didn't come in until number six because you have to deal with all the other factors, and they're looking at that. So,
thank you very much. I guess I'm going next with a really somber, not funny story at all. This is one of the most emailed at CNN.com. Do you remember this story? It was in the news a lot.
Yeah.
This couple who had been arrested and accused of keeping slaves, essentially two Indonesian housekeepers that they held in their Long Island mansion. Well, the woman, the female part of that couple, was sentenced to 11 years in prison this week. Varsha Sabnani was convicted along with her husband in December on 12 counts that included forced labor, conspiracy, involuntary servitude, and harboring aliens. Apparently, they made these women do all kinds of horrible, horrible things, taking freezing showers as punishment when they didn't do their job, forced to eat dozens of chili peppers, which is kind of random.
Yeah.
Sounds like they work here.
That's what happens to you when you don't do
your
job.
They didn't make
them
taste the coffee, though. We should point that out.
That's true.
That would be a crime against humanity.
When this woman, the verdict was read and she was being escorted out of the courtroom, she said, quote, "I just want to say I love my children very much, and I was brought to this earth to help people who are in need." We should point out her defense attorneys argued that these two women practiced witchcraft, these housekeepers, and may have abused themselves as part of a self-mutilation ritual.
What?
It seems like all the laws and legal arguments are deeply rooted in the 17th century in that case.
Very,
do we have slavery laws on the book? Is there a witch exception? Very odd. So, my most, the Minnesota Star Tribune, what I call the Strib, and everyone up there does too, they suckered me again. They put out these good headlines, I get all excited for the article, and it's not what I thought. You may remember yesterday, where the headline was something along...
Something about mayo.
Yeah, I think yesterday was, "Wolves seem torn between selecting mayo or love."
Yeah.
And I thought it was, you know,
a sandwich
food, or food or breeding. No, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves basketball team. We're selecting between two players. One was O.J. Mayo. And one was Kevin Love. Today, the headline, "Wolves swap mayo for love." Like, okay.
Who can blame them, really?
I'm not going to get suckered in this time. This is clearly a story.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah, this is clearly a story about, you know, animals in the wild and what they trade for. No, it was another basketball story.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Yeah,
you
so
know.
One day, I'm going to be told the story, like, "Wolves love mayo." And I'll be like, oh, yeah, you're not going to get me again on that. And I'll go slather some Miracle Whip on my sandwich while in a national park. And wolves will attack me because I paid it no heed because the Minnesota Star Tribune is the newspaper. Oh, yeah. Is the newspaper that cried mayo.
Oh,
you know, I had a
that
real,
was a really good
I had
most,
a real
Mike.
Most, but I just, forget it. I'm just doing my fake most. That's it. I'm done.
That was good. That was
Laura.
A good fake most. Laura Silver.
This is a real most. From France via the International Herald Tribune, and there are raging protests in the south of France.
Aren't they all raging?
No kidding.
Yeah.
And aren't the French always having protests?
They are.
This one had 7,000 people in the southern town of Montpellier. They burned two police cars.
Oh,
they vandalized
gosh.
Supermarket aisles.
Pourquoi?
Bonne question. Et à propos du vin. Ouh là là, the winemakers took to the streets. Because they're protesting the plummeting prices of wine and the rising costs of fuel. Surprise, surprise. Mm. But the French certainly have their own way to go about it. They were attacking a building, a courthouse in Montpellier, and looks like they might be accused of homicide. That's a case that's pending.
Oh,
and
not funny anymore. Yeah.
What do they want?
Way to bring it down.
And when do they want it? I'm going to guess now.
But they did trash the wine aisles of three supermarkets. That doesn't happen that much in the U.S. by winemakers.
What are they whining about?
They're uncorking their rage.
Oh, stop.
That was a Merlot blow.
Oh, my gosh. Trisha, save me. Save me, Trisha.
I don't know. I don't think anything can save this segment. All right.
You can.
I'm your Google girl. I was checking the Googler this morning, and it was all NBA draft, but nestled way down there at number 19 was Bleach 316, which scared me a little. But it turns out Bleach is this manga, a very popular manga that's been around since 2001. And episode 316 has been scanlated, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
Does that make any sense to anyone?
Scanlated?
Yeah, apparently that's what the cool kids call, you know, they translate it from the Japanese and they
make it free for everybody
to read on the internet. So it's out. The new Bleach is out. If you, like me, have never heard of Bleach before, it's the adventures of Ichigo, who's a high school student who can see ghosts.
With large eyes.
And Rukia, who's a soul reaper.
And with large eyes.
Various adventures in the world of gods and death.
And
it's huge. It's been around since 2001. It's sold 50 million copies in Japan. There's an anime series on TV, a couple of feature films, including one that premiered here in the U.S. earlier this month. I had no idea. There's a rock musical. So
of course there is.
I'm going to start reading.
The translating those things, scanlating them, I guess, is actually pretty interesting, you know, because they read right to left, and we were left to right, so they actually have to kind of rework some drawings, and they have people who can figure out if they mean the same thing. So
that is cool. Yeah. I like it.
Fascinated,
well,
you
anyway,
guys.
Totally fascinated.
I downloaded and I printed out page one. There's a little girl running from something that looks like giant centipedes.
Right. But from right to left, it looks like a giant millipede, just so you know.
Yes.
All right.
Very confusing.
Moon on Ian.
Where are you going to take us, Ian?
I'm going to take you all the way to New York City.
New York City.
Listen to the rivers. Sorry. My last show. I got to sing.
Thank you,
Left Eye. I must sing.
Yeah,
you cannot stop me.
We've been very excited. We've been very excited about these waterfalls, this huge public art project.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally on. You know, all over New York City, there's these huge waterfalls. There's one by the Brooklyn Bridge, one in New York Harbor. Actually, I've seen them on in the last couple weeks before they officially turned on. I think they were testing them when no normal, reasonable human would be out. But I, of course, am on my way to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I saw them, too, at some, you know, afternoon hours on the weekends. Yeah.
So anyway, Rick Carr looked into it. Let's hear his report.
This morning, as dawn broke, it looked as though the Brooklyn Bridge had sprung a gigantic leak. There's a 100-foot-tall tower of scaffolding just under the roadway on the Brooklyn shore, with water cascading from the top. Around 9,000 gallons of water a minute. There are three others like it, one on the Manhattan shore on the Lower East Side, another on the Brooklyn shore, and one on Governor's Island in the middle of the bay. The falls are between 80 and 120 feet high. At the base of each one, pumps suck water out of the bay and pipe it to the top, where it's dumped into an intentionally leaky, oversized gutter. From there, the water cascades back down into the bay. The falls are the creation of the Danish-Icelandic artist Olafur Eliasson. He's a big deal in the art world right now as a retrospective of his work closes next week at the Museum of Modern Art in Manhattan. 2 days ago, he sat on an observation deck overlooking the bay, a little bleary-eyed because he'd been up all night making sure everything worked. He gestured towards the water and said the point of the project is to get New Yorkers to think about parts of the city that they usually ignore, although he said it in art speak.
There's a kind of a space which we normally would consider a negative space because we are here in Manhattan. This is the positive block. Over there you have another city structure. That's another positive block. But in between here there's nothing. It's taken for granted as something which is not really even there.
In other words, the East River and the Bay are things to be endured, not enjoyed. New Yorkers are used to passing through tunnels below them or over bridges above.
This is not about the waterfalls only. This is obviously also about from where you engage in the waterfalls, the journey through the city on a boat, on a bicycle, walking, running, or however you want to look at them.
The waterfalls cost about $15 million. The money was raised, mostly from private donors, by a group called the Public Art Fund, which also organized the logistics. Its president, Susan Friedman, says New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg loves the idea and pushed his staff to make it happen.
No one's built a waterfall before. So city agencies think, how do we permit this? And there had to be the willingness and creativity to say yes and to want to pursue it and make it happen. And when there's a mandate from City Hall to pursue it and make it happen, then it happens.
The only comparable public art project in New York history was The Gates, erected in Central Park in 2005 by the artists Christo and Jean-Claude. Katie Siegel teaches art history at Hunter College. She says the mayor's support for the waterfalls was informed by the success of The Gates.
Michael Bloomberg understands that art is good business. And so The Gates was an enormous success, probably the biggest, most successful art public art project ever in terms of sheer economics and tourism. And so the question is, will this drum up that kind of business?
Siegel isn't so sure that it will. She says the New York waterfront isn't very pretty, certainly not as inviting as Central Park. She also worries that the focus on tourism will dilute the impact of the waterfalls, that they'll be seen as a spectacle rather than the sublime evocation of nature that Eliasson seems to want.
He didn't want lights originally, and that they are putting electric lights on them, and I think that's something he's probably afraid of, that it will just be turned into the equivalent of a laser light show at a Pink Floyd concert.
The waterfalls will be in operation through mid-October. A limited number of free tickets will be available every day for a boat tour of all four. Anyone who misses out on the free ride can pay $10.
That was Rick Carr reporting. If you want to check out any of our most stories and all manner of cool stuff, check out our website. You know where it is, npr.org/Bryant Park.